Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon Series anime and whatever other random stuff comes to our minds. Just a reminder, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is always advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here today with my illustrious, wonderful, amazing co-host, Austin.
Oh, you're describing me? I thought you were describing someone else.
I was trying to come up with a joke in the middle and, like, call you something else, but I couldn't.
That's okay.
So.
You can call me a fat slob, it's fine.
Never. You look very intent there on your phone.
I'm doing
Austin.
Some research on Bulbapedia in preparation for this episode.
Oh my god. Our favorite research platform.
This episode is brought to you by Not Bulbapedia.
We're not being sponsored in any way. But if you'd like to sponsor us, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
If you'd like to sponsor us, you can go on our Patreon.
Yeah, check us out over there. Austin and I just did a pre-recording.
Finally. We haven't done a pre-recording in like 4 months, it feels like.
We didn't have anything worth talking about. Now we did.
To be honest, we haven't been doing pre-records. Oh my god, the majority of people listening to this do not subscribe to Patreon, so they don't care.
But maybe they would if they knew.
They've not been doing pre-records because we've had so many guest hosts. So we had to, like, you know, coordinate things. But it's just us now, baby. At least for this week.
Yeah, so if you're interested in listening to our pointless and rambling banter... check us out on
Patreon. We talked about politics.
We did. If that's your thing, go over there. We have some hot takes, not really. But yeah, it's us this week. We were going to have a guest host, Christina, but she had some real life matters to attend to.
I don't know what that's like. I can't relate to that.
I don't either. Any sort of announcements or anything that you want to share before we roll into week talk?
Nope. My stomach's grumbling.
Did you eat breakfast?
Can you hear it?
I did not
eat breakfast. Let's talk about yesterday. Yesterday, Alex and I met up because we haven't seen each other in quite some time in person. And we literally were like, what are we going to do? We have nothing to do. We have nothing going on. What's happening? We like kind of sat there for a while.
We were aimless. Isn't that kind of sad? Like, after we finished our X-Men extravaganza and then we finished all of Pokemon Horizons. So we were kind of floundering, directionless. We're like, what do we do? Oh my.
We ended up doing some research on Max Headroom.
Oh my god, you want to talk about that?
What's there even to say?
Maybe not everybody's familiar with what Max Headroom even is. I don't know how to describe
it. Just Google Max Headroom incident and have fun.
So in a nutshell, Max Headroom was this thing that happened in the 80s. It was a movie. It was like a TV movie where the premise was like in the not so distant future, it's like a dystopian cyberpunky wasteland, industrial wasteland. This journalist, news reporter, hits his head and they upload his, like, consciousness. Well, not really his consciousness. They, like, take him and make him into, like, an AI. Another rival news station gets a hold of it and the AI becomes sentient and, like, becomes, like, a super popular thing. I don't know.
Look it up on your own time. The 80s were weird. Like,
the 80s were very weird. And then, like, in real life, so this is obviously a fictional show played by an actor. The character was fake. But, like, a real person at some point later interrupted a real-life news broadcast wearing a Max Headroom mask. And to this day, nobody knows who it was or how it, was able to happen.
So we spent, like, 2 or 3 hours doing Max Headroom bullshit.
I think I've had enough Max Headroom in my life.
Forever.
I did ask my mother because I was like, you know, obviously she was a teenager in the 80s. And I was like, Mom, do you remember this? And she's like, oh my God. She was like, why on earth are you talking about that? She's like, I do remember that. I just wanted to get the perspective of somebody from like the 80s who would like see that in real life.
I imagine it's like in 20 years asking someone about like, well, I'm trying to think of something that was like a flash in the pan, like the Geico caveman or something.
I was thinking more like Skibidi Toilet.
Ugh.
Which I still don't know.
You know my opinions on Skibidi Toilet.
I still don't know what that is.
No, I don't want to know.
Are there any young people out there that can, like, write in and explain that?
Educate us?
I mean, we're officially old. We're oldsters.
Okay, I will say, one time I went on TV trips to figure out Skibidi Toilet, and I was not prepared for what I found.
Sounds complicated.
Hold on, one moment.
Am I prepared?
It follows an ever-escalating war between a race of camera-headed people, what? Their allies, and the titular Skibidi Toilets, sapient singing toilets with the heads of people protruding out of them, causing the Cameraman Alliance to spring into action and take back Earth.
What the fuck?
That's all it says.
So this kind of does sound like Max Headroom-y.
Well, Michael Bay is making a movie.
That's false. Really? No.
No, it's not. It's not false.
I don't know what to say, so I think I'm just going to move on.
Yeah, let's move on. How's your week?
Every day we stray farther from God's light. Well, aside from that weirdness that we got up to yesterday, we also watched another TV movie that I came across as in a meme format. I feel like that's how we're getting introduced to, like, older stuff these days, is, like, somebody makes a meme out of it, it goes viral, and then a whole new generation discovers stuff. I guess it was a TikTok, but I saw it through Instagram or something. It was a meme of the intro of The Screaming Woman, which was a movie from 1972.
It wasn't half bad for an ABC movie of the week.
It wasn't half bad. I actually really enjoyed it. And we had a lot to say during it, too. We watched it.
We did.
It was actually pretty entertaining, and we had a lot of fun with it. So I kind of was like, this is going to kick off our spooky season.
Well, it was a thriller.
It was a thriller. It was good. I would suggest, if you're into that kind of thing, to watch it. It wasn't like intense in the sense of like what horror movies are now. It was very tame.
It was a 70s movie of the week. It's that format.
But there was a lot of like frustrating parts in it, you know, because the main character has some stuff going on with mental health. And so like a lot of the other surrounding characters don't believe her, even though it's true. It's a good movie. I would watch it. It's only 70 minutes or something.
I will say I Googled screaming woman meme after the fact. And all I could find was that woman screaming at the cat.
Screaming at the cat?
The famous
Oh, when meme she's like pointing at the cat, yes. And the cat's like sitting at the table. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that from, like, a Real Housewives show or something?
I think the Real Housewives are one thing, and then the cat is, like, completely unrelated to the Housewives.
Right, yeah, but they...
Like, it's just a random cat.
They mash them together.
I don't know. Go on Know Your Meme to find out.
The internet can be a tool for such good, but also for such evil.
Have you seen the one where the woman screaming is Jessie? And Jane, yes, is holding her back.
And meow.
And the I think it's Pikachu is the cat.
Oh, really?
I think so. That's one I've seen.
Oh, my goodness.
God, we had the most boring week.
What else did we do? I'm trying to think. I did make a impulse purchase myself recently.
Okay.
This is video game related, of course, because that's all I surround myself with. Which I say, you know what? Buy what makes you happy, do what makes you happy, all that stuff.
I have a guess as to what it is.
Guess.
The Dragon Age art book.
How did you know? Did I tell you? You probably did.
Yes, you did.
I did. So as we all know, I'm a huge, unapologetic Dragon Age fan. I wasn't originally going to buy the art book, but I feel like I got a damn good deal. So I got a significant discount on the deluxe edition of the art book. So yeah, I bought that, and no regrets. You know, honestly, I know I say I'm like a huge Dragon Age fan, so don't like come at me, but I really don't buy any of the peripheral media. Like, I don't buy the comics or anything like that. Like, I do have the books, but like, that's it.
This is where you and I differ, because I'd be like, I need every single piece of tie-in media.
Okay, can I just say, full disclaimer, I'm one of those people that like... I don't really feel like I should have to read all the peripheral media to get a good understanding of what's going on in the games.
With, like, tie-in stuff like that, I always am like, this is something extra.
Yeah, but that's not always been the case with Dragon Age stuff, which really frustrates me.
Oh. Ooh, fuck that.
Yeah, I think if you have any kind of peripheral media, it should be completely standalone. It's not required knowledge for the mainstream thing. In this case, that's the game. I mean, you could very well go through the series and have a decent understanding of it, but there's a lot that you discover in the books and comics that directly tie into the games that is pretty substantial. And like, if you don't read it, you're fine, but you're missing out on a lot.
You know what I think you would fucking hate?
God, I'm sure. What?
The forgotten meta franchise .hack.
Oh, you love .hack.
Well, when I was younger, my preteen years, I'm a sucker for a multimedia franchise, see also Pokemon. It's basically like a gimmick of like, you gotta watch the anime, and you gotta play the video games, and you gotta read the light novels, and you gotta read the manga.
Oh no.
And you gotta see the movie, and it's so needlessly complicated for not much reward. But you know my 12-year-old ass was like, ooh, that sounds very intense. I'm in.
Well, that's also, I think, is it maybe a little bit of, like, you don't have a direct understanding of, like, this is going to cost me a hell of a lot of money to, like, pursue. Mm. Is that maybe?
What was ironic was the video games were the centerpiece.
Right.
But I didn't have a PS2, so I couldn't play them.
I don't know. It just seems overwhelming. I think I mentioned this once before. I had this exact same sentiment when we watched Mad Max Fury Road several years ago.
I didn't watch it with you.
Didn't we go to see it in theaters?
No.
I could have sworn.
It wasn't me.
Anyway, I know my feeling, and I told you have to remember this because I was like telling you all the time. I was like, there was some kind of tie-in comic to that movie where it was kind of necessary for you to like read that to understand some of what was going on in that movie, and I was really mad about it.
Mad Max has like zero continuity though, so like who cares?
I mean, not me. I always remember that when I'm thinking about like supplemental media. My stance is just like I shouldn't have to feel like I'm missing out on something because I didn't read the extra material. I mean, I guess you could always, like, watch a YouTuber or, like, read a recap or no, something. Thank you. But
no one cares about fandom recaps of official media. That being said, let's talk about Pokemon this week.
Yeah, nobody cares about fandom recaps. Two episodes this week, we have a Thai rogue full of trouble, which I still don't understand what that is referencing.
What is that referencing?
Thai rogue full of trouble.
A Thai full of trouble? A rogue full of trouble? What does that mean?
Thai rogue full of trouble. I don't know. I'm not getting the pun, if there is one. Zatu the Future, though, is very obvious in my opinion.
That's a great fucking title.
What were your initial, any, like, warm-up thoughts?
Fuck the Thai rogue episode.
Oh, we got a reference to a thing we've seen before, though, which we didn't reference at all. Our twerps didn't, actually, but it was a callback a little bit.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's get into
it. All right.
You're doing 30 second, I'm doing the full.
Oh, God, that means I get the Zatu episode. Ooh.
Yes, it does. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, my God, I'm doing the 30 seconds. Okay, so we are somewhere, and we come across a dejected-looking Thai rogue. It starts fighting them because it's, like, a rebel. And they come across this guy named Keo, who's, like, a karate master, and he's like, I'm gonna befriend that Thai rogue if it kills me. So Thai rogue gets up to some shenanigans. Team Rocket tries to like invite it to join Team Rocket, and it's like, fuck you. Keo fights it and rolls it into submission. It's like, I'm gonna be your friend whether you like it or not. And Time. Then that's it.
I had to look up Keo on Bulbapedia.
Is that what you were researching?
Yeah, I knew he was a game character. I know you've played Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Did you get it to Keo?
Where is Keo at?
Keo, apparently, is on Mount Mortar.
No. Is he the guy who gives you the Tyrogue in Mount Mortar?
I think so.
Because that's like a black belt.
Yeah, I think it's him.
Oh, I didn't know he was in the game.
I've not played Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and I've not played Gold and Silver since, like, 2001. So, I'm not a reliable source.
Well, he was in Gold and Silver as well, right?
Yeah, he gives you a Tyrogue if you beat him, and there's an empty slot in the party.
Is his name in the game Keo?
I don't know.
Like, how does Bulbapedia know that?
Wait, that's... Yeah, it is. Yeah, oh, okay. His name in the game is Keo.
Oh, okay, never mind.
He's the guy who runs the karate gym in Saffron City.
Oh, okay.
This is wild. Okay, first of all, the fact that he is on Mount Mortar, but in this episode, they don't say the words Mount Mortar once.
No, they don't.
Even though Mount Mortar is between Ecruteak City and Mahogany Town, so they're definitely on Mount Mortar.
So is that like a tiny little like 100-foot cave that they walk through at the beginning supposed to be like them going through Mount Mortar?
I guess they're on. That's it.
Okay.
They're very rarely in caves, so that threw me off. I was like, well, they're in a cave.
It was a cave with like string lights like along the walls of it. So I was like, obviously this is a well-traveled path. They're not just like off-roading it like they normally do.
I guess they're walking through Mount Mortar.
That's supposed to be Mount Mortar, I guess.
I don't remember Mount Mortar. Do you?
Barely.
But there's a dude named Keo there. I will note real quick, we have never seen the Saffron City Karate Dojo in the anime up to this point. We will see it later.
Oh.
Twice, but it's two different depictions of it. That's actually a really bad continuity.
I mean, Pokemon's not really known for its, like, continuity.
I don't know. The anime's usually pretty good about that stuff. You may disagree with me.
Maybe more recent anime iterations.
No, I would actually argue as the further it went on, the less concise it got.
I mean, we were just talking about how Horizons was serialized and how it was like an arc versus like individual standalone episodes.
All right. All this is to say, the Karate Dojo appears in Saffron City in Advance, and it appears again in Journeys, and they're completely unrelated.
We'll have to keep an eye out for that if we remember that.
We're not going to get that far.
Okay.
We're not going to remember that.
Well, we'll do our best. Anyway, okay.
Anyway, none of that matters, because this episode is about Kyo and this Tyrogue. It's a wild Tyrogue, apparently. It's his friends with a Mankey and a Primeape, and the twerps go up to it because they think it's hurt or tired or something, but actually it's playing a trick on them, and it steals all of Brock's Pokemon food from his bag and runs away with his allies, his little monkey henchmen. Ash sends out Bayleaf. Boulder nearly falls and kills the twerps somehow. I missed how that happened.
I'll tell you how that happened. Tyrogue and his little henchmen push it down onto them.
Oh, shit. They're murderers.
They absolutely tried to attempt murder on the twerps.
God, I hate Tyrogue. But thankfully, they're saved. Because Tyrogue has a stalker.
Wow.
And that stalker is Kyo, the big, muscular man who's a karate, hi-ya kind of guy. He's a black belt.
He's a Chuck disciple.
He is a Chuck disciple. Unlike Chuck, he does not have a dad bod. However, he is like 3 feet taller than Brock, so that's interesting.
He's like a giant person. He's like Bruno was.
Oh my gosh. No, Bruno was like enormous.
Yeah, Bruno was even better.
This guy's only 9 feet tall. He's not like 15 feet tall. Lieutenant Surge was the worst one. He was really, like, a huge, giant person.
Wasn't that, like, a joke about Americans or something?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, Kyo's here. He karate kicks the boulder in half.
Wow.
He's Chuck's disciple because he recognizes Ash's badge. And he's training for the P1 Grand Prix, which you alluded to earlier.
Two thoughts. One, I think Ash and friends are far too trusting of random karate men they just come across in the woods.
He saved them from certain death.
That is true. But then he, like, flashes all his badges at them, and I was like, Ash, close your shirt. Nobody cares. Two, the P1 Championship / Grand Prix. We had a callback to that, which...
But did we, though?
Well, we humans in real life remember that the P1 Grand Prix was the focal point of episode 29, The Punchy Pokemon. I had to look that up because I forgot.
Well, we may remember that, but Ash does not.
I was so... When I say so, I mean not really because it's a show, but I was mad because Ash fucking won the P1 Grand Prix and didn't even mention it.
Effortlessly won.
I was pretty flabbergasted that we didn't get a single like, oh yeah, we've been to the Grand Prix or something, like just a throwaway line.
I love how they always make the P1 Grand Prix out to be like this huge prestigious honor. And Ash is like, yeah, I did that on a Saturday.
I mean, he's had many moments like that.
With the Pokemon that I randomly gave up for no reason.
Remember when he just won, like a few episodes ago, the Pokemon longboarding contest or whatever? What was that called again?
The Extreme Pokemon.
Extreme Pokemon. Yeah, that's right. And he just won it on a Saturday too.
Well, Ash doesn't remember that. That's already in the past.
I can't believe that was such a... I mean, not that it would have gone anywhere. Or that it really mattered, but I really just can't believe that they didn't even, like, acknowledge it at all.
Maybe they didn't want to brag.
Have you ever known Ash to be humble in your life?
Well, I know he's been forgetful. Brock also participated in that, and he didn't mention it at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, he did a miserable performance.
I would understand that, you know, hiding your shame and all that stuff. But, like, Ash won the fucking thing, so I'm really not sure why he didn't even say anything about it.
Where was Anthony / Rocky Balboa, the degenerate... father who stole Ash's Primeape.
Oh yeah, the dad who like abandoned his family to like compete because that's all he ever thought about. I don't know.
Maybe Kyo also abandoned his family. Who knows?
Well, he does live in the woods.
All that aside, Tyrogue and his monkey gang are attacking some Tauros. They're trying to steal a Tauros herd. I think they're just causing mischief.
This was terrifying, though.
Togepi somehow ends up on the ground in the way of the Tauros stampede. But the Tyrogue saves baby Togepi.
Baby.
Quote unquote baby.
Grown man Togepi.
Tyrogue saves the Togepi and Kyo's like, ugh, I knew that Tyrogue was a noble spirit.
This guy is obsessed.
Kyo single-handedly grabs the Tauros by the horns and stops it. Because he's a real man.
Talk about grabbing a bull by the horns, am I right?
The local men are all like, let's call Officer Jenny. And Kyo's like, no. I'm going to rehabilitate that Tyrogue. Don't call Officer Jenny. Little do these locals know that if they did call Officer Jenny, all she would do was get the twerps to handle the problem. So, like, they're already on it. It's fine.
Well, yeah. I mean, they couldn't have known that, but I'm surprised Ash didn't say, we'll help. We've already got this.
Well, they were just tagging along.
Yeah, this was more of a Keo episode than a twerp episode.
Right. Keo gives the tragic backstory of Tyrogue. Apparently, it was abandoned or something.
Yeah, that's what he says. It does wear a blue, like a tattered blue scarf. Clearly a mark that had been owned by a human at some point. It was abandoned. We don't see its trainer, right? It just is.
It was Damien.
It could have been Damien.
It could have been Damien.
But yeah, abandoned while training. Not really sure why or whatever, but...
I would abandon Tyrogue too. I don't like Tyrogue.
You know, I know I ask this question all the time. Every time we have a Pokemon with, like, clothing-like bits, Tyrogue has shoes and, like, pants.
And it has, like, tape.
And it has, yeah, tape around its, like, wrists. Is that, like, part of its body?
Tyrogue evolved into Hitmontop, Hitmonlee, and Hitmoncham. Is it me, or does it only look like a pre-evolved form of Hitmonchan?
Because
Hitmonchan wears that the baggy clothes that look like a dress.
And it has boxing gloves on it.
Yeah, it has boxing gloves and shoes. Hitmonlee is naked and has the springy legs.
Yeah.
Or in arms, actually. And Hitmontop is wearing, like, some sort of, like, unitard with a deep V-cut. But that looks a lot more like it's part of its body. The blue singlet.
Yeah, I will say that Hitmonchan makes the most sense, like, visually. Like, even its face. Like, if you look at Tyrogue's face and then compare it, obviously, to Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan, Hitmonchan's is way closer. Hitmonlee is, like, a blob.
Hitmonlee is completely unrelated to them.
Yeah.
Hitmontop does have the tape on its wrist and ankles.
Hitmontop is an abomination, and I am trying to, like, avoid talking about it.
It's not in this episode for some reason.
Thank God. You know, honestly, what I thought was going to happen was, like, okay, so Keo has both Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan. I thought that, like, at the end, it would evolve, and then he would have, like, all three.
That would never happen, because, as we know, getting Tyrogue to evolve into Hitmontop is fucking impossible.
I can never remember how it is. It's, like, your attack and speed, or no?
Defense.
Defense has to be equal when it evolves to become a Hitmontop, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish they could have just... Can they just make it, like, a held item? Like, give it, like, a boxing glove to evolve into Chan. Give it, a shoe, like, a boot or something to evolve it into, like, Hitmonlee. And then give it, like, a top or something to evolve it into Hitmon. I don't know.
I'm just looking. It looks like a little Hitmonchan with a different color palette. Well, it's inversed. The clothes are brown.
Yeah.
And its skin is, like, the pink color.
Yeah.
And Hitmonchan is swapped.
What they should have done is made its legs... For Tyrogue, anyway. They should have made, like...
Springy legs.
Part of it look like Hitmonchan with, like, the tape and the... But, yeah, then it could have had, like, springy legs to kind of be like, oh, okay. It could potentially evolve either way.
It could have a little tail for Hitmontop.
Something. Were Tyrogue... Okay, wait. I can't remember, and this is going to sound silly. When was Tyrogue introduced relative to Hitmontop?
The same time.
So then they... Then that doesn't make... It makes even less sense, because... They already had Lee and Chan, like, design-wise in mind. And if they designed Hitmontop at the same time, then they absolutely could have created Tyrogue to have all three elements incorporated into its design.
It's a mess. It is a mess. I don't care for this evolutionary line.
Same.
Regardless, we got a whole episode about fucking Tyrogue. Possibly my least favorite Johto Pokemon.
Ooh, hot take.
I can't think of anyone else. That's worse.
Smoochum.
I don't mind Smoochum.
Yeah, I mean... I can't really think of one I don't...
I'm struggling. No one's coming to mind.
All right. Tyrogue takes it for worst Johto Pokemon.
Maybe that's why I didn't like this episode.
Hey, listeners, reach out and tell us what is your least favorite Johto Pokemon. I'm curious to know.
And your favorite.
And your favorite, yeah. Let us know.
Mine's Heracross.
Favorite, you mean?
Yes.
Good. Well deserved. I don't know what my favorite would be. I need to think about it.
Okay, I'm not even going to mention Team Rocket. They're trying to recruit Tyrogue to Team Rocket. Whatever. Eventually, Keo tracks down... Actually, he, like, calls out into an empty field. Tyrogue, I'm here! And Tyrogue appears. And they have a battle. Tyrogue versus Hitmonchan. It beats the Hitmonchan. Tyrogue versus Hitmonlee. It beats the Hitmonlee. You would think it evolved into a Hitmontop at this point, but it does not.
That's what I thought for sure, like I said, was going to happen. My only thoughts on this was pathetic showing by the other two.
Oh, yeah. Now it's going to be Keo versus Tyrogue, because Keo is like a Superman.
This is so ridiculous. I have an LVP in mind for exactly the scene. Like,
okay, we'll
I'll save it.
All right, but Team Rocket attacks, of course. And they take away Tyrogue via the balloon. But superhero Kyo is there, and he runs up a mountainside, and he jumps off the mountain, and he falls into the balloon, rips it apart with his bare hands, and crashes it into a cliffside. Then another boulder falls. This time, Kyo doesn't karate chop it in half. He catches it with his manly, muscular arms. While he's holding this boulder, he gives an impassioned speech to Tyrogue, being like, Tyrogue, you need to believe in me. Very Gurren Lagann coded, but not as interesting or fun.
Sure.
At this point, Onyx comes to save the day.
Oh, my baby Onyx. I'm so glad.
Onyx knocks aside the boulder Kyo is holding, and Kyo's like, I had it. You didn't have to help me, Onyx. But Onyx is not listening to this fool. Onyx absorbs the attacks from Arbok and Weezing. Then Pikachu attacks Team Rocket. And then Onyx blasts them off again with a tackle attack.
Yeah! Finally, some Onyx recognition. I loved it.
This was so inexplicable, but it was fun.
I know. I wasn't expecting it at all, but I was glad that it happened.
Just randomly Onyx today.
I know. Somebody was sitting there in like the writing room. They were like, you know what? This scene needs Onyx.
Now that that's out of the way, it's time for Tyrogue versus Kyo. Oh, God. Which I took no notes on other than the fact that Kyo picked up Tyrogue, threw it into the shallow pond, and that defeats it.
He tried to drown it.
That's okay, because Tyrogue and the Mankey and Primeape are going to join Kyo's team, and the episode's over. The end. What a boring episode.
Kyo was creepy. He was way too persistent and forceful. I'm like, he was somebody who doesn't take no for an answer, that's for sure. Tyrogue doesn't seem like super comfortable with this idea, but I feel like Tyrogue is like, you know what? I don't have a choice. It's like submit or get drowned.
Perish.
Yeah. Yeah. So do we ever see Kyo again? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Never know if he won that P1 championship or not.
I'm going to assume he didn't because Primeape beat him.
That's true.
Ash's Primeape, that is.
With Anthony.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
All right. Boring. MVP, LVP, end quote. I go first.
Go for it.
I kind of want it. Are you going to take Onyx for MVP if I don't?
I mean, we have to abide by the rules of the game. I have no control over what you pick first.
MVP is Onyx.
Ah! I was trying to reverse psychology that shit and it didn't work.
No, it did not. I'm going to take MVP Onyx because Onyx truly was the MVP of this episode.
For sure. Well deserved.
Uh-huh. LVP is Dexter.
Ooh, what? We didn't talk about Dexter at all. Why?
Because Dexter says Tyrogue is the evolved form of Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan.
Oh my god, I completely missed it. It does? It really says that?
Yes, he does. Dexter has completely clocked out and does not care anymore.
Dexter doesn't give a shit.
Dexter meant to say it's the pre-evolution of Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan, but he did not say that. He said it's the evolution.
I mean, the way it schooled both of them, it kind of could have been.
I mean, maybe that's why that they put that in there.
Maybe.
No mention of Hitmontop whatsoever.
That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Dexter is doing a shit job these days. He gets LVP.
Wow. Quote.
Oh, right.
I like how Austin's like, he's like looking around. He's like,
Well, that's okay. Okay. There is a thing. I'm like, do you not see that on the wall? What is that? Oh, it's part of the window. Okay.
I didn't see it, but it's okay. There's nothing there. Ghost.
Okay, I must sound like a lunatic. I was looking at my picture.
Oh, so you saw the little outline of the little bulb to, like, turn your window blind?
Yes, I was looking at myself in the chat. I saw a weird thing, and I had to look at it to realize what it was. It was the bulb to put my shutters on the window.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a bug if you're, like...
I know, I thought it was a bug.
It's just floating there. All right. Mystery solved. Okay, anyway.
Quote. God, there's like nothing good.
Yeah, this wasn't...
I'll just say, when Meow says when the balloon crashes, we're dropping like a dumbbell.
I am going to give my LVP. It's with a heavy heart. I give it to Brock.
Not Kyo?
Kyo was annoying, but no, I think I have some reasons for Brock.
Okay, go.
At the beginning, Brock tries to Brock-splain to Misty... This is when they first see Tyrogue, and it's just sitting there looking all dejected. And Misty's like, oh, it looks kind of... Because Dexter says, like, it's supposed to be an energetic Pokemon. And Misty's like, oh, no, it looks so sad. Like, something's wrong with it. And Brock's like, no, Misty, step out of the way. It's just hungry. And all Pokemon look like this when they're hungry. So I'm going to just shove some food in its face, and it's going to be fine. So I'm like, wow, Brock, that's mighty presumptuous of you to think that it's just a problem with it being hungry. And the fact that he, like, pushed Misty out of the way to Brock-splain to her. And then the second reason was, I alluded to earlier, was during the battle with Kyo and Tyrogue, Brock explains again that according to Master Chuck, I can't remember how he says it exactly, but he's like, battles between Pokemon and people are equal. There's no difference between humans and Pokemon when it comes to battling. And I'm like, that's false. I mean, I guess by extension, my LVP is Chuck too.
Well, Chuck is the one who likes to like erotically wrestle with his Machoke on the beach.
The submission rolling around.
Yeah, the submission.
I'm like, this is false because Pokemon have powers that humans could never like hope to match. And I think this is just dangerous to like press that narrative because humans are not on the same level as Pokemon. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. My MVP, ooh, this is a tough one.
Keo.
Ew.
Because wasn't he just so cool?
God, he was actually annoying as hell. You know what? Actually, I'm going to switch it up unexpectedly. This thought came to me. I'm going to give my MVP to Ash for not mentioning the P1 championship. Oh. Okay. Maybe Ash was right all along and he had a sense of, this guy is annoying as fuck, and I don't want to invite the conversation about the P1 championship.
Yeah, let's go. Let's just keep on going.
So Ash tried his best. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to, less is more. I'm not going to volunteer that information. And so, yeah, looking back, hindsight, I think that Ash was smart not to say anything. My quote. Okay, there wasn't a lot of good ones, so I'm just going to read the motto because I thought the motto was kind of entertaining, or at least part of it. Jesse and James obviously prepare for trouble as Tyrogue sails away. This is when they catch it. And make it double because we really can't stay. Pow! To protect the world with a mean right hook. Well, to unite all peoples with my kickboxer look. To denounce the evils of honest fights. To extend our arms to punch out your lights.
Jesse James.
I can't remember what the rest of it is. I didn't write it down. I just thought that was funny.
All right, that Tyrogue episode is done.
All right.
Dead and buried.
Do we see Tyrogue again anywhere?
Like the Pokemon Tyrogue?
Like in this series. Like, does it show back up somewhere else?
Like this Tyrogue?
No, like Tyrogue. Do we have another Tyrogue episode or anything like that?
Oh, I'm sure it shows up at some point, but I can't remember anything off the top of my head.
Okay. Maybe we can avoid it for a while, but...
Zot to the future. Time me.
Are you ready? 3.
Yes.
2, 1, go.
All right, I'm getting a vision of the future. Zatu. What? The Zatu are saying that this episode is about a giant flood that wipes out a weird ancient civilization that exists in modern day. The Zatu are saying that we have 10 more seconds left in the summary. Okay, the Zatu say goodbye. Goodbye, Zatu. And the day is saved and the girl becomes a weather girl.
And oh my god. Yeah, so that was basically the episode. Yep. I don't really think we need to talk about it anymore.
All right, Alex, did this live up to your memory of it?
It did, in a way, but I want to hype this episode because I really love it, but it wasn't as kooky as I remember it being.
Okay.
I will say...
It was still pretty damn kooky.
It was kooky, and to that end, I'm going to just put a little disclaimer here. This is a really involved episode. There's a lot going on, and so I hope we can do it justice, like, talking about it like this, but it's really wacky, so bear with us, okay?
This was 100% a Takashi Shudo joint.
This was.
It had to have been.
Do we know for sure? Like, did he write this?
No, episode? I don't. I got a vibe.
Is there a way to find out?
Bulbapedia, as always.
All right. What is the...
Of course it was him. Of course it was him. He was a lead writer on this one.
That absolutely makes sense now that we know that. This was a wacky episode. It was very strange, but it was fun. It was entertaining. And we've been hyping this episode up for a while, so Zatu fans out there, this is your moment.
Zah.
So we're on our way to Mahogany Town still, and Team Rocket is there in the middle of the path, and they're building a classic pitfall trap. And in an unprecedented display of paranoia, Brock is walking down the road with Ash and Misty, and he's like, you know what? It's such a nice day, but it's a little too peaceful if you ask me. And Ash says, yeah, surely that Team Rocket's up to something.
Well, yeah, they attack you every fucking day.
They haven't seen them yet, though, so I was like,
They haven't shown up today, so
they haven't shown up yet. Yeah, so maybe it was early still, so maybe they had time, but they're very suspicious off the bat. Team Rocket takes offense to this. They're like, hey, how do you know that it's even us, like, messing with you? Ash is like, I knew it was you. And so the hole that they dug is not doing its whole thing and not falling. And so they stomp on it for a while, and then eventually the bottom falls out. They fall several hundred feet, apparently, and land It's only after Wobba Fett comes out and adds that final weight to the group that they continue to fall. They fall further into a pit and end up in some, like, mysterious underground hallway.
That's some sort of ancient chamber.
It's like some sort of ancient underground labyrinth that they have encountered. And they're like, where the fuck are we? What the hell is going on here? Just as they are trying to get their bearings, a frantic girl runs by, and this is very like White Rabbit. She's like, I'm late for a very important date. They're like, what's going on? Where are we? And she's like, well, I don't have time to talk, but you can come with me if you want. So they decide to go with her, and we are led into this room that's like, I don't even know how to describe this. It's like a big, like, cylindrical chamber, and there's like a bunch of like metal orbs suspended from the ceiling, and on those orbs are a bunch of Zatu. They're like perched. It's very like celestial, like astronomical kind of equipment. Like, I don't know. It's just a weird, how to describe this room? Like,
isn't that a real thing? Like those old school depictions of the solar system with the orbiting planets?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's kind of like an old ancient times, like a celestial, like, telescope tower, but like with all the ancient like equipment. I don't know, it's really interesting. So all the Zatu are sitting on those little balls, and this girl, she introduces herself as Callista, and she explains that the Zatu are really important. She's part of a civilization or village that really places all of its importance on the Zatu, because since she can remember, they base all of their everyday decisions off of Zatu's fortune-telling. Because supposedly Zatu can see the future, but its accuracy is questionable. But they still base their entire lives around the Zatu's predictions.
Who the fuck are these people? What the fuck is going on?
I don't know, but this is very much like a civilization lost to time. Like, they very much live apart from, like, the rest of modern society.
We're not in Johto anymore. We're in La La Land.
We are not in Johto. She's dressed in very, like, I don't know, traditional sort of garb from, like, antiquity.
She has wild-ass hair.
She's got crazy hair with, like, crazy, like, hair accessories in it. Very much like ancient civilization type. She runs up this cylindrical stairwell, which leads to this, like, coliseum-like arena.
It's like a stone amphitheater.
Yeah, it's like an amphitheater in the middle of, like, a canyon. Like a ravine in a gorge.
And all people are also wearing the traditional clothes. We don't see where they live. They just, like, live in this theater.
It's like a stone, everything's stone, stone steps, all this stuff. Like, there's a group already there, like, sitting in the coliseum. I guess they go there every day to receive their daily weather forecast.
What?
And other predictions. Who the fuck knows?
This is very Remoradians in that we don't even have to, like, comment on it. It's just wild in of itself.
It's inexplicable. I'm like, do you people, like, have zero contact with the outside world? Like, don't you have cell phones? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Who are you people?
Which presumably, I'm jumping way ahead, but at the end of the episode, Callista says, I'm going to go to the city to become a weather girl. So they are aware of modern shit happening around them.
Okay, this is a cult of people. Very, like, low-tech society.
It's so weird. I mean, it's so weird. They obviously are not some sort of, like, tribe on a lost island that doesn't know that there's an outside world. Like
the Meowth people.
Yeah, they're not like that. It's inexplicable. There's really nothing to say. So yeah, these people base all of their daily lives and every decision they make off of the weather predictions that they get from the Zatu on a daily basis.
Did we notice there was like 20 people and the amphitheater could sit like 500?
This is a very small village. Callista tries to give them their daily weather forecast, and the Zatu communicate with like flag language. They like move their wings around.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty neat.
Did we like how the flag language, at first it went from, like, it's gonna rain, to eventually the Zatu were communicating, like, full paragraphs worth of complex thoughts and emotions via their flags? And Callista could translate it?
You know, it just seems to me that this entire group is at the mercy of whatever Callista wants to say, because apparently she's the only one that can interpret their, like, flag signaling.
Mm-hmm.
The general public there can't. So they're kind of at her mercy, to be honest.
She's in the 13th generation of Zatu flag language translators.
Brock is a little skeptical because she gives him this forecast of basically, like, if it's not cloudy, it'll be clear. there's going to be no thunderstorms unless it rains. And Ash is like, what the fuck? And Brock is like, it's doublespeak. You're saying something without really saying anything. It's plausible deniability.
Just like all this bullshit.
Yeah, this is very much that. So she seems shocked. They start giving her some information, which scares the pants off of her. And she's like, oh my God, there's a situation. I have to go. So she takes two of the Zatu and she runs back down to the situation room underneath this like stage, the weather information center, where she has like a big supercomputer that like says the weather. And she sends out the great Zatu. And it turns out that the great Zatu, the leader of this society, is nothing more than a big old satellite painted like a Zatu.
To the crowd's astonishment and wonder.
The crowd, the people sitting out there in the amphitheater are like, oh, the great Zatu is here. Oh my gosh, the great Zatu. And they're completely like in awe of it, like ready to get down on their hands and knees and worship this thing. Like Austin said before, Callista tells us that she's the 13th generation of the Zatu prophecy interpreters. But recently, as of late, Zatu number 3 has been getting a little bit senile in its old age because it's making predictions that aren't really coming true. She asks them if anyone among them are inclined to tell the weather. And of course, none of the twerps are like, we can't tell the weather. Like, what the fuck? And then they're like, well, maybe Pokemon. Like, can any of the Pokemon in our group, like, tell the weather forecast? And they're like, well, no. Like, none of our Pokemon have that. But then Jessie jumps in. And she's like, guys, it's me. I'm the chosen one. I was a weather girl once upon a time. But she wasn't good at it, so she got fired.
It seems like Jessie was left to her own devices. And she was like, I don't know what's going to happen. Some weather's going to happen.
I mean, that's kind of what, like, all meteorological forecasts are, right? The best guess.
Oh, we're going to get emails.
All right. Maybe I was speaking out of line. I'm sure our computers can tell us with a very accurate certainty what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. Anyway, so Jessie is like, yeah, I was a weather girl in my past, you know, all this. And so apparently one of the Zatu starts looking into her past because it can see the future and the past simultaneously. This one is traumatized. This one breaks out in a cold sweat. It can't take it. It passes out. Callista's like, I think you're, like, way too complicated of a person.
This is my favorite part of the episode, bar none.
To answer your earlier question, when I think about this episode, I thought about this part specifically, and it came and went as fast as, like, it was just over in a second, and I was like, I remember this being, like, way more funny.
I liked it.
It was funny.
Zatu was, like, sweating bullets, and it passed out because of the sheer contradictions of Jesse's impossible backstories.
I do want to know, like, what it saw that made it so overwhelmed.
Well, was the joke partially... Jessie panicked and was like, don't look into my past. Was the joke supposed to be, like, some untoward things were going on that we don't know about with Jessie?
I don't know. Is it untoward or is she just, like, a sexually free individual?
Okay.
Or something like that. No shame. I don't know. Maybe Zatu's just a prudish type of Pokemon that can't handle, like, reality. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do to survive. Yes. It was a fun moment. It was cute.
I want to read Jessie's biography.
I wish she would write a tell-all book.
My memoirs. And it would be total fucking bullshit. It would be so, like, flowery about how tragic her life has been, but also, like, complimentary of herself and how amazing she is. And like, she would make up bold-faced lies.
You know, that happens in real life.
Exactly.
Bullshit sells.
Oh, Jessie.
You know what I suddenly...
Write a tell-all, Jessie. Write a memoir.
You know what I suddenly thought, and this might get me in trouble, but...
Okay.
Do you remember... I can't even remember the guy's name.
A Million Little Pieces, yes. By James Frey.
Whatever, yeah. And he... It was, like, a huge fucking deal, because, like, Oprah had him on her show and was, like, endorsing him. And, like, it came out later that that book was, like, fabricated. At least to some extent.
Did you read that book?
I didn't. My mom did, though.
Okay, I read that book. And you're like, yeah, no shit. If you read it, it's very clearly... I mean, that's what a memoir is. It's a fictionalized, somewhat, account. It's a story rooted in true events.
Well, was the problem that he, like, presented it as truth? Like, was that the problem? Maybe. Or...
Like, it went from, like, oh, I was in, like, care. I was receiving medical care. But then, like, it goes off in this, like, wild-ass story where he's like, and then my girlfriend escaped, and I had to go to a drug house and find her. And I'm like, none of this, that's not fucking real. Like, it's like a movie. Like, it's like a plot. Clearly, it was not real.
So, according to the Wikipedia, it says that originally sold as a memoir, which is any nonfiction narrative writing based on the author's personal memories. The assertions made in the work are thus understood to be factual. I guess you could argue that memories are subjective and can be subject to, like, you know, misinterpretation. Like, if you're remembering something, it can right. be. But I think that it's generally accepted as nonfiction, like, fact. I think they, when it came out that he, like, when he admitted that many parts were fabricated, like, complete fiction, they remarketed it as semi-fictional.
Okay. If you read the thing, like, there was a lot of bullshit, like, clearly, like, that's not real kind of stuff in it.
Maybe he would have been better off just publishing it as a fictional novel.
Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know why I just thought, I haven't thought of that in forever. What year was that? That was...
It was a long time ago. 2006.
Oh, okay. God. I just remember it being, like, a big to-do. Like, it was a big thing, and everybody freaked out, and... Anyway, where was I even? Oh, Jesse's Past. Her tell-all book. Basically, Calista...
Oh, my God.
What?
I just remembered the girl who claimed that she was the girl who wrote My Immortal, and she was gonna release a tell-all memoir about her life, and then it got not published because it was bullshit.
Didn't her brother come out and say that's all fucking bullshit?
Yes. I pre-ordered that book.
Y'all, I don't... I mean, obviously... I'm going to go off on a little tangent real quick. If you listen back to some of our older episodes, we did a dramatic reading of the Harry Potter fan fiction called My Immortal, which has achieved cult-like meme status. Check it out at your own risk. That it's one of the greatest mysteries of our time as to who wrote this piece online. There's a lot of speculation. Nobody knows for sure. It came out a few years back. I think it was a few years ago.
I don't know.
The purported author of this, like, revealed herself. And she's like, it was me the whole time. And it turns out that was a big fucking lie. So it's still a mystery. We still don't know.
I think it was the black mold on J.K. Rowling's walls. I think it wrote My Immortal.
Oh, is that the thing, the meme where people are going around where people are like, is that fucking mold on her wall?
Oh my gosh. I love those memes. Those are hilarious. Have you seen the one where it's, like, a keyboard covered in, like, mold, and it's, like, it's writing J.K. Rowling's tweets or something?
Ew.
Okay, we're way... Okay, Zatu.
We're way out of bounds.
I'm the one who keeps doing this.
Okay. Reeling it back in. Okay.
It's my bad.
No, it's funny. So, yeah. Calista basically asked Jesse if she could use her Weather Girl training to, like, interpret this meteorological data that's coming in, because long ago Zatu predicted the reason she's freaking out is because long time ago Zatu predicted that a great flood would come to this area after days of rain and wipe out this small area, this gorge that I don't know where the town actually is, but whatever.
We don't see the town.
There is no town.
I think they just, like, sleep out on rocks.
Is this, like a LARPing group or something? Like, do they just come from the city and, like, just meet up here? Like, I just don't know if they actually live here or what's going on.
Who knows?
It's a LARPing thing. So, yeah. So, ever since then, for several generations, these people have lived in fear of this great flood and have based their entire existence off of the Zatu's predictions. And she's afraid that because Zatu's senility is causing it to make mistakes, people are going to turn on it if they realize that this prediction was wrong the whole time and that they've been living in fear for no reason. So Calista decides that, you know what, fuck it. She's just going to err on the side of it's true. And so her response to that is to run back out and incite mass panic and tell everyone.
Get out.
She basically yells fire. Fire in an open theater, right? Run for your lives. And they all freak out and they run off somewhere. We never see them again.
They leave their, like, tithes to the Zatu, though.
Somehow they have, like, priceless valuables on their person that they leave in tribute to the great Zatu satellite to appease the angry gods. I don't know.
That has to be a thing. Because I remember they did something similar with that Natu episode where you had to give a coin to the Natu and it would, like, wash it.
Oh, and make the prediction.
Yeah, that has to be a thing.
Perhaps it's where it comes from. That's a good catch, Austin. I didn't remember that. So, yeah, at this moment, Delibird appears. So this is, we did mention this, so we were going to take a note every time Delibird appears.
It's been 1 month after 3 episodes.
Yep. And it's here to collect on its monthly payment. And during the chaos, Team Rocket tries to steal the offerings to sell because they have no money to pay their debts, but are blasted off by Zatu. So goodbye, Team Rocket. Delibird, before it leaves, gives them its presence, which instead of hurting them, heals them. And now that Xatu are healed, which I'm like, why couldn't this girl have given them like a potion or something? Like if they're sickly, then like, I don't understand. But they're better now, I guess. And so their predictions are better. And so they actually predict that the flood isn't coming tomorrow. It's coming right now.
Like it's literally like there. Like there it is.
There's the flood. It's happening now.
Did like a dam break or something? What's going on?
I think it's just like they're in a ravine.
Right.
So maybe, but that's an awful lot of water.
It was raining, but it wasn't like
raining hard.
Yeah.
And it would have to rain for several days to achieve a flood like that. Maybe a dam just did break somewhere. Who knows? But it uses their combined powers to teleport themselves and the twerps away before the flood comes and claims the area. And then smash, cut. We are away from that and it's sunny now. And Brock is like, so now what are you going to do, Callista? And she's like, I think I'm going to go move to the city and be a weather girl. All right, bye.
Did Jesse give her the idea?
I'm really scratching my head over like the non-resolution of this. Like
they ran out of time. It's just done now.
They absolutely did run out of time. Like, there's no... I think they just thought to themselves, like, how do we end this?
This is a bonkers episode.
What happened to the people? What happened? Do they have a town?
They all died.
Where did they go? The only damage, really, was just the gorge flooded, and, like, nobody was there, so, like, nothing really happened?
Presumably the ancient hallway and, like, the weather center and the cylindrical chamber are all gone.
Oh, I guess. So does that mean, like, the cult of the Xatu is, like, dead?
What happened to these people? Did they reintegrate into society?
I don't think they ever were a part. I think they, like I said, I think they just were, like, LARPing as these people. We'll never know. if you have questions, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get an answer. She's no longer the great Xatu interpreter. She's like, fuck that. I'm going to make a real living wage and going to be a weather girl in the city.
Goodbye.
Team Rocket they go back to the flood site, though. They start digging for the treasure that was left there, but I don't think they're going to find it. And that's it. Xatu the future. It was bonkers, wasn't it?
Okay, so there's this episode. There's the Kabuto Island episode with the red blood moon.
That was so good.
What are other wild episodes?
Bill trapped in a Kabuto costume.
That was a weird one. This is up there, her weirdest.
We've gone through so many episodes, I can't think of like a really weird one, like off the top of my head.
This is episode 236, by the way.
We watched 236 episodes of Pokemon. I literally can't think of like another like really bonkers one off the bat. Can you?
All right, MVP, LVP, and quote. Alex, you're first.
My MVP is going to be the Great Xatu,
mm-hmm.
because...
Specifically the satellite dish?
Yeah, specifically the satellite dish, because how could you not venerate the Great Xatu? It's wise and almighty weather-predicting knowledge. I can understand maybe why the people completely abandoned all sense and worshipped it. My LVP... I don't know. God, my LVP... Oh, my LVP is going to be Callista for inciting mass panic.
Okay. Well, she had to. There was a flood coming.
I mean, she didn't know that. She didn't
know that for sure, but she was right.
Well, she was right, but she didn't know that at the time.
Mm.
There's so many good quotes in this. How many quotes do you have?
Not very many.
I have so many. Can I read one and then read the rest?
Go for it.
Or do you want me to read them all now?
Just go for it.
Okay. I'm going for it. Okay, in the beginning, when they're stomping on the hole and then the hole falls out, James says, I think they broke our hole.
Gross.
Let's see. Jesse, this was more of a serious one that I liked because Jesse has some really good life advice. And I'm like, yeah, girl. When Xatu's looking into her past and Callista says she's too complicated, Jesse says, true beauty comes from the hard times we can walk away from, eh? And Callista's like, whatever. And then the part where Jesse is talking about predictions and she says, from the time I was a little girl, I've had my fortune read 10,000 times from the four main sources. Dice, cards, a crystal ball, and women's magazines. Those lame fortune tellers end up being wrong as many times as they're right. In the end, you only have yourself to rely on. I love Jesse. Can I change my MVP?
Yeah, I can't stop you.
Oh, good. What were you going to say about Jesse?
Jesse's keeping it real.
She is keeping it real. You know what? I'm changing mine. It's going to be Jesse. Sorry, Great Xatu.
Okay, my MVP is going to be the Great Xatu.
Which was what you're originally going to be? If I hadn't changed it.
Pikachu?
We barely saw Pikachu.
Yeah, because when Callista announces she's going to be a weather girl, the twerps, like, you know, are, like, encouraging like they always are. But Pikachu has, like, an incredulous face that's like, you're like a weird cult girl. You're not going to be a weather girl.
Oh, I missed that entirely. Damn.
But I'll give it to Great Zatu, who survived the flood, by the way.
It did. It was up on its
own. It got banged up, but it survived.
So what's going to become of the Great Zatu?
It's going to rot away.
Oh, sad.
My LVP, I'll give it to Delibird for not waiting a whole month, because I refuse to believe it's been a whole month since we last saw it.
Is it really that hard to believe?
Yes.
I mean, time is... There is no time. Fine,
okay, you didn't care for that one, so I'll give it to someone else.
No, it's not me, it's you.
I will give it to the Zatu people.
The Zatu people. For letting themselves get taken in by a cult.
Yeah.
I hope they get some help.
Quote, I'll give it to Brock. He says, you can't have people falling over each other to leave just because of a 1% accurate weather forecast. Ash says, someone could get hurt. James says, and that someone could be me. I will also point out Callista saying, the Zatu have prophesied.
Prophesied? Isn't it prophesized?
Yes, it is.
Oh. Grammar corner with Austin.
The Zatu have prophesied.
Prophesied.
I'm also going to prophesy.
Yeah, give us the future.
The future is the Red Gyarados.
The future is now, thanks to science.
We're not going to get an XY anytime soon.
No, we're not. The Red Gyarados, ooh.
Next week is talking about an evolution and Rage of Innocence.
Oh my god. You know what this means, Austin?
What?
We're getting ever so much closer to Icy Price.
We are a lot closer to Icy Price than you think we are.
I am frothing at the mouth, chomping at the bit for Icy Price.
We are much closer than you think we are.
Oh my god, I can't wait. All right, with that being said, we hope that you enjoyed this week's episodes, and we thank you for listening.
Sorry, we didn't know how to respond to these episodes. We were like in a stupor.
These were off the rails in a good way. Well, maybe from Zatu, maybe not the Tyrogue. Anyway,
fuck Tyrogue.
If you want to give us your thoughts on Tyrogue or Zatu or whatever else, you can always reach out to us on our Gmail. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com, or check out our Twitter. /X at Out of Drying Pan. Again, Out of Drying Pan. And we also have an Instagram at Out of the Drying Pan. You can check us out over there as well. And if you like what we do and want to support us, check out our bonus content. Please check out our Patreon. You can find the link to that in our description. And as always, we once again want to say thank you all so much for listening, and join us next week as the journey continues.